Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning. I'm Marianne Combs, in for Carrie Miller. And confession, this hour is one of my favorite shows of the whole year. If you have a young person on your holiday shopping list, get your pen and paper ready because we've got two children's book experts in the studio to share their favorite books of 2018. I'm joined by Holly Weinkauf, owner of Red Balloon Bookshop in St. Paul. Holly, thanks so much for being back and joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And by Lisa von Drasek, curator of the Children's Literature Research Collection at the University of Minnesota Libraries. Lisa, so great to have you here.
I'm so excited.
This is going to be a fun hour. And of course, if you are stumped as to what to get for a particular niece, nephew, or grandchild, give us a call. You can reach us at 651-227-6000. That's 651-227-6000. I have to say, so looking around the room, we have a large display of books that the two of you brought in. Since this is radio, I should explain. Holly and Lisa came in with basically two carts of filled with boxes of books.
Well, let me just clarify, one cart, but two boxes.
Okay, one cart,
we're
two
crazy,
boxes.
And one very, very big tote bag.
Yeah.
And so we are surrounded by children's books, pictures books, young adult books, and some adult books, too. So a great selection and lots of inspiration for the conversation. So first off, looking back on 2018, I have to ask, has it been a good year for children's literature?
It's been a great year. I mean, trying to figure out what books we wanted to highlight this morning was challenging because there are so many good ones. And as we're talking, I'm sure we'll remember ones that...
Yeah, I woke up this morning and put three more on the list that we don't have in front of us just in case we have time.
Was there a theme or sort of as you look back on the year, were there certain types of books that really stood out and you thought, wow, this is a big year for this kind of literature?
I think there are a lot of books speaking to the moment for all ages. So lots of beautiful picture books helping kids understand
the world around them.
Yeah, yeah. And we're seeing more diversity in kids' books.
And there's some anniversaries coming up, like, or things happen, like Mary Shelley. There's Mary Shelley biographies. There's a graphic one. There's Catherine Reif has the one that's a chapter book biography that's really more young adult. And what I'm loving about all of that is none of it is dumbed down for kids. It's not a retelling for young children. It's, hey, here are interesting people. So you hear a lot of women artists getting attention, and you get a lot of biographies of people we want to hear about.
Right, and books that show kids with having experiences that maybe we haven't seen so much of before.
Okay, great. Well, again, I should give out those numbers. You can join the conversation at 651-227-6000. That's 651-227-6000. You can join the conversation with your question. If you have a niece, nephew, a grandkid, or a kid that you'd like, you're trying to find that perfect book for, we've got the right people to answer that question for you. Lisa, you're holding up a book in your
coming
hand right
off,
now.
It sparked me as soon as Holly said experiences that you don't experience perhaps in your life. And I was really surprised and amazed to see a book called All of a Kind Family Hanukkah, based on the classic books by Sidney Taylor. And if you talk to any child who is Jewish, they have a grown-up who is Jewish. They have read these books as young children. The All of a Kind Family is a series about an immigrant family living on the Lower East Side of New York City during the turn of the century. And I was among the many who was appalled that somebody would have the nerve to take Sidney Taylor's work and make a picture book, and not only a picture book, a holiday book. snotty. It doesn't even come close to how I felt about the idea of this. But once I opened this gorgeous volume, which is written by Emily Jenkins and Paul Odzelinski is the illustrator, I actually think it's an award-winning book. Mm. It's a book that gives us a peek into what it's like to live in a tenement. A huge family of sisters. Ella is 12, Henny is 10, Sarah is 8, Charlotte is 6, and Gertie is 4. And it's from the point of view of the youngest, who's not old enough to make latkes.
Oh, that sounds adorable.
Yeah, so that's been a great holiday book. And, you know, we're mentioning that there are lots of books with, you know, experiences, showing kids with experiences. There are still plenty of books that are just fun for kids. And so one of my favorite holiday books this year is a book called Santa Bruce.
As opposed to Santa Claus. Santa Claus is X'd out and it's replaced by Bruce.
Yeah, and it's by Ryan Higgins. He's the author and illustrator. This is the third book he's done about Bruce. The first one, Bruce becomes the reluctant mother of goslings. So it's called, the first one's called Mother Bruce. Now we have Santa Bruce. He's ready for a quiet winter of hibernating. He goes outside to get ready with his hat and coat on, which happened to be red, and is mistaken as Santa. And all the creatures are in the woodlands are so excited, and it just takes on a life of its own. It's hysterical. Families with kids of all ages will just giggle and giggle and giggle as they read this book.
Oh, this is adorable. Yes. Lisa's giving me a page-by-page preview of the book.
Well, picture books, it's very hard. Radio.
I know.
But
it helps to see
it's
them.
The art of the pictures and the words and how seamlessly they go together.
Right. And he does a good job with those.
If I was going to mention Minnesota author and an illustrator from Duluth, Mary Casanova, Nick Robluski, I believe it's pronounced.
He's a great woodcut artist.
Yeah.
Hush, Hush Forest is the inheritor of every bedtime book. It is not only beautiful, but the language. And I was talking the other day about Wanda Gog inventing the modern picture book and how the words in the pictures go together. Look at this.
Oh, beautiful.
To the sky.
There's
rising,
a moon flying over the trees. Yeah. That's gorgeous. We are talking this hour about children's books with our two guests, Lisa von Drasek and Holly Weinkopf, who are experts and enthusiasts in the area of children's literature, children of all ages, really. Let's go to the phones. We've got Laura on the line from Blaine. Laura, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, thank you.
Absolutely. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, well, I work at a youth bookstore in the kids section, and I spend all day recommending books. And I have just a few go-tos that I love to recommend.
Sure.
So for the younger kids, there's a local author named Michael Hall.
Mm.
He won the Minnesota Book Award for my favorite book of his, Red, A Crayon Story.
Mm-hmm.
All of his books are excellent, beautifully illustrated, very simple, tell wonderful stories.
Fabulous.
That one in particular, I think, should be required reading for all parents. Basically, it says your kid is who they are, not who you expect them to be.
That's right.
So I love that book for younger ages. For the middle school age, I always like to recommend Gregor the Overlander by Suzanne Collins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about that
series. Yeah, she wrote that series before she wrote Hunger Games. I think it's a better series.
Interesting.
And I remember being that age and feeling like, why do terrible things happen? Why do people fight? Why are there wars? I don't want to hear about it. I don't understand it. And that series kind of helps explain those things for a kid that age. But at the same time, it's a really fun, engaging fantasy series. And then for older kids right now, I love to recommend, there's two graphic novels. One is Squirrel Girl by Ryan North.
Yes.
Best superhero ever. Mm-hmm. And the other is Lumberjanes by Noelle Stevenson. Mm-hmm. They're very empowering graphic novels for teenage girls.
Lumberjane? Did I get that right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's a series. Yeah.
Excellent.
And there's a series of graphic novels. There's also a series of novels. Great for that.
She's a great bookseller.
Excellent. Well, thank,
thank
you, Laura.
You.
Appreciate
I like hearing
that.
This. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, I could go on all day, but those are like my top favorites for those different age groups.
Good thank job. You for thank you for bringing those into the conversation. Appreciate it. We also got a call earlier from Liz in Woodbury. She's looking for engaging books for a four to five year old that also teaches intercultural lessons. So if you're thinking about, like, you want to help them to understand things culturally.
We actually have a couple here, although I'm thinking of many right now. But but a couple that we brought today.
Yeah.
One is a book by Yuyi Morales.
Yushi? Like Judy?
Okay. And it's Yuya Morales. The book is called Dreamers. And it's the story of a woman who comes to a new country with her baby, with nothing really, and finds the power of books, the power of art, and it transforms their life. The words are simple but rich. The illustrations are so vibrant and beautiful, and really just a lovely book to share with young kids.
Fabulous. Lisa?
Well, Holly brought this one, A World of Cookies for Santa. Follow Santa's tasty trip around the world. We brought two cookie books today. Say a little about A World of Cookies.
Yeah, so this one, actually, this one came out last year around the holidays, but it's still one of my favorite holiday books because it follows the story and traditions of Santa in different countries and then talks about what different kinds of cookies Santa might be served in those countries and includes recipes. So it's a great way to sort of take a trip through different cultures and, And on the theme of cookies.
Yeah.
And also on the theme of cookies, both of us adore the Great Minnesota Cookie Book, the award-winning recipes from the Star Tribune's Holiday Cookie Contest. Lee Civic Dean and Rick Nelson from the Star Tribune.
Now, is that a children's book?
Okay. But
it can be enjoyed by children.
Here's what I got to say
with
about
the grown-ups in their lives.
Cookbooks.
Yeah.
Cookbooks are fabulous for intergenerational bonding. And you said, oh, we brought some grown-up books. So I want to say something about Unconditional Love, A Guide to Navigating the Joys and Challenges of Being a Grandparent Today by Jane Isay. And the reason I see these two books together is the book about being a grandparent is great for parents. If you might not have the most perfect relationship with your parents, but you want to support that intergenerational bonding, start early. So why not get that cookie book, either the picture book or the Minnesota cookie book. And if you're a grandparent who's not nearby, you can be reading these books together. You can be Skyping them. You could be making cookies. You could be laughing about your trials and tribulations. I actually made cookies for work, and yes, I did burn them. So it's these experiences that we build on so that when the kid is 15 and 16, they still want to be around you.
Speaking of cookbooks, I've noticed that there are now cookbooks geared towards different aged children.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah. And there's we didn't bring it today, but and I'm not going to remember the exact name, but America's Test Kitchen has a great
brand new
cookbook for kids that's just wonderful. There are so many fun cookbooks for kids. But what I was going to say, too, about, you know, on the topic of books for adults or grown-ups is even this book, if you're using this Minnesota cookie book to make cookies in your kitchen, and there's still time to do that for the holidays, you can, as you're doing it with your kids, you can point out, you know, how, you know, what the words are saying. You can point out how the text is laid out on the pages. But even for kids who are not yet reading, it's a good pre-reading exercise.
And cooking is actually a STEM topic. It's science. It's math. It's you have to know how to measure. You have to know that two half cups make a whole cup. And what if we're doubling the recipe?
Yeah.
So and it's easy.
Nice. Very
and
cool.
And you get to eat the results.
Let's go back to the phones. We're taking your calls. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can reach us at 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. We've got Ellie on the line from St. Paul. Ellie, welcome. Thanks for joining the conversation.
Hi, thanks so much.
You bet.
I have a one-year-old at home, and I wanted to piggyback a little bit on the question earlier about books that teach cross-cultural competence or intercultural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had recommendations, especially for the really young kids, and especially board books, of books featuring children of color.
Can I first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm a big fan of board books. I'm a big fan of books expressing reflection of our own lives and into other people's worlds. And you're never too young to be looking in those books. There's a series of board books by Cinco Puntos Press that is in Spanish and English. Cindy Weil is the author. I the titles are things like Opposites and Numbers and things like that. So that's a great one. Holly, you have them in your store.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, maybe this is a different series. There's also a series that teaches concepts, but through significant Hispanic
that's
figures.
The one.
Okay,
same
yeah. So
one.
There's like Guadalupe, Frida Kahlo. Teaching those concepts.
I have a list on. I blog at the Blue Ox Review. So if you go on the Blue Ox Review and you're looking for board books, just put in the search, and I have a list of books from all places and authors and images, because you really want to see how you can share your own child. This is a baby, and this is a baby from across the world.
And a couple others I'll just mention quickly. There is a series called Global Babies.
That's the one.
Okay. So we're talking about the same one. Okay. Great.
Excellent. So we have a couple different series, but we have some of them are the same thing. So, all right. We'll
figure babies out from around the world.
Yeah.
Global babies.
Global babies. Okay, great. And that's different from the Frida Kahlo one.
Oh, yeah. And then there are lots of titles out there. Yeah. And you can come into the bookstore anytime and we will pull a whole stack for you.
Okay, great. I have to say, as somebody who has not had kids, my feelings towards board books are a little disdainful.
You are so wrong.
Convince me. Tell me why board books are so important and cool.
Because when babies, kids are young, they need to be able to touch the books, handle the books, turn the pages of the books with a paper book. For little hands, it's a little harder. It's easy to tear the pages, but a board book will hold up to repeated handling with little hands.
And there's actually the Pediatric Foundation that puts board books for well baby visits, because instead of doing all these tests on the little baby, they hand the baby the board book and they can see they're grasping. They can track their eyes as they look at the pictures. And those are all emergent reading skills.
But are these great works of literature?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. You've never heard of Sandra Boynton?
There are two kinds of board books. There are board books that are originally produced in board book, like Sandra Boynton's books. Mm-hmm. They are clever. They are funny. The illustrations are perfect for young kids, but also entertaining for parents. But then there are also books that came out in a regular picture book format that then that also translate well into a board book. And this is actually, this one I have right here is a picture book, Small Walt and Mo the Toe, by a local author, Elizabeth Burdick. A great picture book, winter story.
This is a tow
story.
Truck. Mo the Toe is a tow truck.
Yes, uh-huh. And Small Walt is a snowplow.
Excellent.
So fun wintertime story for young kids. But I could see, my guess is eventually, this will be put into a board book, because it is also a great book for a two-year-old, and managing a board book would be a little bit easier for that age.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Kara on the line from Minneapolis. Welcome to the conversation. What's your question?
Hi, I just wanted to recommend a book on puberty, actually, that just came out this year for girls, Celebrate Your Body, by Sonia Renee Taylor, who wrote a book called Your Body is Not an Apology. And I have a 9-year-old girl who doesn't always fit the mold. And this book is way better at body diversity, kind of celebrating the changes. As cheesy as that sounds, some of the other books I saw did not do the best job at that.
That's important.
That's really a great point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so this one came out just this year, and I was really pleasantly surprised at the way that it approaches health in a non-shameful way. And so I'm just excited to pass on that recommendation.
Okay, fabulous. Thanks for that. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, that's a nonfiction book, and we have some other nonfiction selections here besides the cookbooks that I know you brought along. Can you want to share one of those?
I want to share from National Geographic Kids, Fly With Me, a celebration of birds through pictures, poems, and stories. So it's information, it's stories, it's poems, and it was created by a family. Jane Yolen, Heidi Stemple, Adam Stemple, and Jason Stemple. These are all Jane Yolen's children who are adults.
Yeah.
Gorgeous pictures.
Ooh, photographs.
And it's information about these animals, but also stories about
this. Red-winged blackbirds.
Look at that. And I was stunned by this, not only as a book that crosses all age groups. We were talking about books that you would give to a family to share. It's a book you can lay on the rug and just pour over and open anywhere and find something interesting.
And a couple other books like that that are nonfiction. Atlas Obscura, Explorer's Guide for the World's Most Adventurous Kid.
Nice.
The grown-up version of that book came out a few years ago. This is the kids' version.
Excellent. I remember the adult version.
Yeah.
That was a big hit.
And another one to just pour over all these interesting places in the world that chances are you haven't heard about.
Ooh, wonderful graphic drawings.
Yeah.
Illustrations.
Yeah, they're beautiful, interesting, fascinating. Another great family gift. And then National Parks of the USA, another beautiful book. It's organized geographically, so you can visit the national parks in the east, in the Rocky Mountains. And there's also a fun little A to Z wildlife challenge at the back of the book. So another great gift for families.
And all of these books are a great teacher gift. If you're wondering, you want to give a gift to a teacher, something for their classroom, something to share, there's a book that I love so much, new this year, called Mapping Sam by Joyce Hasselberth. It's Green Willow Books. It's a picture book. But as we were talking about before, Atlas Obscura, national parks, we're thinking about geography. We're thinking about going places. And this is for very young. So if you have a preschool classroom, an early elementary, it's all about maps. And you can be a young geographer at 4 and 5.
It's such a cute story. It follows the journey of this cat at night and then translates his journey or her journey into what it would look like on a map. And then talks about maps in a bigger sense.
Let's talk a little bit about young adult books. Some of the older books that might be dealing with a little bit tougher issues, or maybe what are some of the books that stood out for you this year?
A book that I just finished reading is a new book from Neil Schusterman and his son, Jared Schusterman. It's this book titled Dry. We also were just talking about movies, the book just recently came out. It's already been signed for a movie contract, so read it before you see it.
And the title again is?
The title is Dry. It's the story in the not-too-distant future of what happens when water sources to Southern California are turned off. So it's a survival story, and it's an interesting look at how people react in crisis. It is fascinating. It's terrifying in some ways, but young kids showing lots of courage and hope. It's a page-turner. Lots of different readers would enjoy this book.
So this falls under that genre cli-fi, climate fiction, the idea of sort of speculative climate fiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I have in front of me is Hey Kiddo, How I Lost My Mother, Found My Father, and Dealt with Family Addiction.
Oh,
and
wow.
Lest you think this is too difficult or too hard or too edgy, it is graphic format, and it really is about finding your path in life. And what young adult isn't dealing with that?
Well, and we should mention this book is a biographical story of Jared. I'm not going to pronounce his last name correctly.
Krasaska.
Yeah.
But he's a graphic novel. He wrote the Lunch Lady series. And he's written some other picture books. This is his story. It is incredible. And while it is a hard story, it also fills you with hope and this idea that you're even in imperfect families, there is so much love.
Yeah, a loving imperfect family. And really that this family who is not, it's okay, there is no typical family. There is no typical family, but how many kids in America are being raised by grandparents?
Mm.
And how many of those never hear their story told?
So who's the youngest that you'd recommend?
Ten and up.
Ten, really?
Oh, did you go to 12? I would say older.
12?
I think because, just I mean, it is very emotional. And, you know, it's about a boy with an addict.
I know some very emotional 10-year-olds.
It's, I mean, and the subject matter is tough. I mean, his mom is an addict. And there's
and
a lot
I
of
know
hard
10-year-olds as moms?
Well, and I guess it depends on the kid and their circumstances.
Okay, the argument I give for... I always age things higher. So I automatically would say this is 12 and up. And then if you know a special 11 or 10-year-old, fine.
Right.
That's
sure.
Fine.
Gotcha. Sure. Gotcha.
But the other thing is children live these lives. They need to hear about them from other people.
Yeah. Mm. And also, too, I think we often don't give kids enough credit for if it is a book that is too tough for a kid, they will set it down. They won't
right.
be so interested. Another young adult graphic novel that came out this year, Illegal, by Owen Colfer, who wrote the Artemis Fowl books. That was a very popular series.
Absolutely, which is also becoming a movie.
Right, and has been turned into graphic novels as well. But this is the story of two young brothers who are determined to leave their very desperate conditions in Ghana in search for a better life in Europe. And so we follow the story of these two boys. And again, it's, you know, it's a hard topic and there's lots of heartbreak, lots of sadness, but the courage of these two boys and the hope that they keep that their lives will get better is incredible. And told in this format, it really does transport you to what life might be like for people who are seeking asylum and refuge.
And that plays off of the book you mentioned earlier, Dreamers, similar theme.
Mm, right,
yes,
sure.
About people looking for a better life, moving to a new country. Interesting.
Sure.
So,
and Holly and I were talking about adult books that cross over to young adult and others. Good morning, good night. Little pep talks for me and you, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Gosh, that name sounds familiar.
I know.
Has he done anything big?
Yeah.
So from the guy who brought you Hamilton brings you Good Morning. Quietly confident in the manifold gifts you possess, both known and unknown to you, right behind you. You got this.
You know, and this is from his Twitter feed.
Because
he tweets these out each morning and evening on Twitter.
Yeah.
And people, you know, get inspiration from that.
And
here it is now a book.
Yeah, and so having them collected in this nice, very sweet book is just a wonderful gift
for
anyone.
Holly, I'm just going to give you some money for this, okay? I need to take this home with me.
It is a great gift for anyone.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jen on the line in Excelsior. Jen, welcome to the conversation.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I've got a couple of specific, very special kids in my life that I'm looking for some last-minute books for.
Okay.
I have an 8-year-old nephew who adores science, and he wants the facts. He doesn't necessarily need a story to go with it. He is just hungry for information. And I'm wondering if you have, I know you'd mentioned a couple when you were talking about, like, Atlas Obscura and a couple others, but I, like, as much just the facts, ma'am, as we can get for this kid, I think is what he's after.
All right. Does he have any interest in nature and wildlife, perchance?
You know, I think he's more of maybe, like, a geology or physics or...
You know, I'm thinking of, and I don't have the books with me, so I'm not going to remember this specifically, but I think there's... There's a series of Astro Cat books. Do you know
yeah,
those?
Yeah.
So those,
Astro Cap?
Astro Cat.
Cat.
C-A-T.
Okay.
Those have, I think there are a couple of them that feature different science topics. So those are some that just came to mind.
And the series by John Sheska, Einstein.
Frank Einstein.
Yeah. And so, yes, I'm sorry, we're sneaking in fictional story, but it's all fact. It's all science. And John Sheska was a science and math teacher. So awesome. It's perfect for that 8-year-old sweet spot of reading level, but it also is chock full of facts, and he's just going to love
that. So Frank Einstein, as opposed to Frankenstein.
Yeah. Okay. And it's a series.
Yeah, it's a series. So you can grab a whole handful of them and wrap those up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. And then you had another one?
I did. My daughter's kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. She says that nonfiction is the worst fiction, which is the only kind of book she wants to read is fiction. And she's a 12-year-old who loves the Shannon Messenger, Keeper of the Lost City series, and enjoyed Harry Potter in the past, and has also enjoyed books like Out of My Mind. And I'm just... to tide her over till the next Shannon Messenger book comes up. I'm wondering if there's some other good stuff she's been missing out on.
Yeah. So, and does she mostly just want to read things that have a fantasy tie-in, or is she open to historical fiction, contemporary fiction?
I think she's probably open to all those. I think her heart
can you tell
is
me?
The most in fantasy. But
yeah.
Can you tell me how old she is again?
12.
She is 12.
Okay. And
has she read the Anne McCaffrey series, Dragon Singer, Dragon Song, Dragon Slayer?
She has not read those.
Okay.
Oh.
That might be it.
And
as a former 12-year-old who loved fantasy.
Yeah. And well, yeah, you have something.
Well,
and then...
I have something, and I also was thinking also books that when you were saying about the Dragons of Pern, I'm thinking of if she's Harry Potter and she hasn't. Like gone back to books that were published before. Now I'm blanking on her name. You know, the school stories.
I'm not sure. Well, while you think about that, another one I just thought of that she might enjoy is I don't know if you've heard about the new imprint that Rick Riordan is doing. He's done his series where each series follows a different kind of mythology. Now he's working with other writers to highlight stories from other mythologies that he is not as familiar with.
Oh.
So one came out. I think this past spring. Arusha. He partners with a Indian woman, or she's actually the writer. He's the editor, and so it's has the same kind of adventure fantasy of like the Percy Jackson books, but set with Hindu mythology. And then there's also going to be one with Mexican mythology. Maybe the first one already came out. I can't remember. But Arusha is that first new first book in the new imprint that he's doing.
Okay. And for if she's read all of Nnedi Okorafor already, because Akata Witch is very popular right now, there's a great brand new beginning of a series called Children of Blood and Bone by Tommy Adamaya. And it's set in East Africa. And it was so stunning that I took a picture of the galley I was reading because I would not put it down.
and then actually I want to go back to The Sun, another book for him. Actually, one of my co-booksellers just texted me, which is the great thing about Red Balloon. We have an awesome staff. And she was thinking for the 8-year-old who loves science, this book called Street Beneath My Feet.
Perfect.
That's a really fun, interesting book.
Excellent. All right. Well, you've got a lot of recommendations there. I think that's a good thing to get you started. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Teresa on the line from Minneapolis. Teresa, welcome to the conversation.
Hi. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the involvement.
Yeah.
My question this morning is I'm looking for possibly a book either for myself, for my 10-year-old daughter, or for both of us. You guys were talking earlier about... the unconditional love of a grandparent that who may be struggling with having relationships with grandkids. But I'm looking for more of a book that for like a mother-daughter who might be struggling in their relationship. Pieces of forgiveness and healing.
Yeah, well, One book I wanted to mention, and I'm not sure if this is exactly the kind of story you're looking for, but it's wonderful, is Kate DiCamillo's new book, Louisiana's Way Home. The thing about this book in relation to your question is it's actually about a grandmother figure who leaves her granddaughter. But it is really, in the end, a story of how family is formed, how friendships are formed. It's so full of love, so full of heart, with little bits of humor sprinkled in.
Yeah, I just...
But something that focuses more on the mother-daughter relationship is what she's looking at for here. So something, you know, that...
Well, I think... I hear what she's asking for, but a lot of time when we're thinking about sharing, you don't want it to be that close.
Too prescriptive? Yeah.
Yeah. You want it to be like, what else can we relate to in this? How to not only be kind, but how to accept kindness and recognize it when it's happening.
Oh, right. Yeah. So in this case, it's the kindness from other adults that appear in her life. And recognizing those little moments where adults are reaching out, and you know, sometimes that's a parent, sometimes that's other grown-ups. But I'm going to keep thinking about the mother-daughter relationship, and what would be a good new book with that.
Or a good old book. It doesn't have to be, you know, this is something that, yeah, but that's a backless. Really, I'm kind of surprised that there aren't more books that deal with this, because mother-daughter relationships are tough.
Well, they are fraught, but part of the situation is if you're a developing preteen, getting into teenage years and things like that, you're in separation mode. And that's very hard for the parent, but the child needs to do that. So that's why all the parents go missing in action in many middle grade readers.
Right, because the kids need to figure things out for themselves, and it's hard for us as parents to let our kids figure things out for themselves.
How is this sounding, Teresa? Does this ring true for you?
Yes, very, 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 very much true for my relationship with my daughter right now.
But if you want to, if you want a classic, I was talking about just at the beginning of the show, was All of a Kind Family. Mm-hmm. There, it's, the mother is magnificent, and there's all these girls, and they're chapter books, so you can go to the backlist. They're historic fiction, so they're a little removed from our everyday life, so you don't have a mom going, "Stop texting."
Right.
Excellent. Well, Teresa, thanks so much for your call. So we've got a bunch of callers, but we also have a bunch of books. I'm seeing one that is in the corner of my eye that I've been seeing all hour here. Holly says, "What if it's us?"
Oh, sure. Yeah, this is another young adult title, and it's written by two YA authors, Becky Albertalli and Adam Silvera. They've written other things, and they're both great writers. So this is told in alternating chapters, and they tell the story of two boys fighting against all odds to find each other again. So they kind of randomly meet. There's a spark of something, and then it's the story of them trying to reconnect. There's a lot of musical references in this.
Oh, cool.
And it's a sweet, charming story.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
And if I was going to talk about one middle grade book that I wouldn't want to leave without talking about, is a brand new series by Adam Gidwitz. And he wrote The Inquisitor's Tale and my favorite debut, which was Tales Dark and Grim. And his new series is The Unicorn Rescue Society. And I'm pretty sure I'm not prejudiced for this book because I grew up in New Jersey. But the first adventure, they find a baby Jersey Devil.
A baby Jersey Devil? What?
A Jersey Devil. So if you grew up in Jersey, in New Jersey, especially South Jersey, in the Pine Barrens, there was a baby born and there was something that happened and it was left in the woods and it grew up to be the Jersey Devil.
That's not a unicorn.
No, it isn't. No. You'll have to read the book.
Yeah, and so the kids in this book, they're on a mission to protect and preserve the world's mythical creatures. And each book focuses on a different creature.
Mythical.
There are three now. The third one, Adam started working with a co-writer similar to the Rick Riordan series, mm-hmm. where he brings in an author from a culture where the story is taking place.
Very cool.
So he's co-writing with Joseph Bruschak to talk about Sasquatch.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a really fun series.
Let's go back to the phone. We've got Sherry on the line in Minneapolis. Sherry, welcome to the conversation.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing. Thanks for waiting.
I have two daughters. My husband and I are white, and our daughters we adopted from China, so they're Chinese. And also one of them has a physical disability. And I'm wondering about representation in children's literature. And we've found there's lots of books about, you know, my adoption story or my forever family. And then there's also books about, you know, the heroic disabled person. But how about books about, you know, a novel about anything that includes characters that are perhaps disabled or have parents of different races or, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there, there are lots of great choices out there. One book that came out this year and was actually nominated for a National Book Award features a character with a few different types of disabilities, The Truth as Told by Mason Buttle. He has both learning disabilities, some physical disabilities, although not ones that we normally think of as being the as physical disabilities, but so that's part of who he is, but that's not the story. The story is that his best friend has died, and he is one of the suspects. Fall in love with Mason and the people who rally around him to help him navigate the situation. It really is just a beautiful, heartwarming story.
Okay. Other suggestions, Lisa?
And I think you're right. It's really hard to see ourselves. I do use a crutch, and I know I'm trying to think, you know, a kid who just happens to not walk as well as somebody else, or just it's part of their life and it's not something they think about a lot. And when we're criticizing books and we're thinking about that, a lot of the time the authors don't really get it right because they're thinking, oh, that must be really difficult for you to get from here to there, and you must be thinking about how you're going to do that, when actually it's part of your life and you're not thinking about that. So I'm going to be looking for more books like that. One of the books that got a lot of acclaim in the past few years is El Defo, because it really gives you an idea from the point of view of a kid who as a hearing impairment. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for nonfiction for young children, there's a series from Capstone Books called Pebble Books. And I really like because that reflects the daily life of a kid who uses a wheelchair. And actually the title is Some Kids Use Wheelchairs, Some Kids Use Leg Braces. And it's about just reflecting daily life.
What about the series of kids, young adult books, kids books that's based on the Greek mythology and the Poseidon.
Talking about the Rick Riordan.
Yeah, the Rick Riordan series.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly love that first one so much because you really get in the head of a kid who's dealing with dyslexia and ADHD.
And then one of his friends is somebody who's on crutches, but then it turns out that in his other form, he's a mythological beast. So it's just like these ideas of it being sort of part of their superpower or their magical nature.
Right,
is
part of what helps them solve things. Yeah.
Is that helpful?
That is.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions about mixed race families? Anything coming to mind with that?
So I'm trying to.
Well, if you're thinking just picture books immediately through the
window. But for what age?
I'm thinking more young adult or picture books too, because I know there's a lot of people out there. But
Jenny Han's young adult books fabulous. Mm-hmm. I just love her books.
One Crazy Summer. Williams, right?
Yeah. Rita Garcia Williams.
One Crazy Summer. What's that about?
I'm trying to remember now Is it a mixed race family?
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not. But anyway, it's there are three books in the series that follow this family of three girls. One Crazy Summer is set in California in the 60s. And so all the interesting things going on at that time. Maybe both their parents are African-American.
Yeah, I think so.
They might be mixed race, but maybe not.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
And I'll keep looking, and I'm going to find you some books, so we'll put that on the Blue Ox review.
Yeah, and it's much easier in the bookstore to scan the shelves and then see what pops up. Right now I'm scanning the few books that we brought.
All right. So we have some, I'm seeing some books that we haven't gotten to yet, and one that's catching my eye is The Poetry of Us.
Both of us brought that. Isn't that funny?
So tell me about The Poetry of Us. And it has some kids, and there's an American flag on the ground. Yeah, there are two copies of it.
Yeah, both of it. Because I didn't want to miss this. When you see a book, and a book shows up and lands on you, and it's about going across the United States, what is the first thing you do? You check out your hometown. And so this is poetry that brings us across the United States with famous poets like George Ella Lyon. And Susan Marie Swanson writes about cardamom bread.
Ooh.
Topped with walnuts. Mother is kneading dough spiced with cardamom. The boy's work is walnuts. Mother helps him spread between dish towels and uses a hammer to break out from the shells.
Excellent.
And that's and so you can cross the Mississippi River. You can go to the Pacific Northwest. Again, I think this is a great teacher present. It's a great family present. And I love reading aloud, as you can tell.
We have just a minute left here. And so I just want to get a quick word in for the ABC of it, which is the book. You tell us a little bit about this book that you...
Thank you. There's going to be an exhibit at the Anderson Library starting in February, February 11th. Our opening night is February 26th, and there will be a book. And it's the ABC of it, Why Children's Books Matter. And you can pre-order it at your bookstore.
And so is this a collection of essays? What is this?
Oh, I wish I had the time. It's three centuries of American and international children's literature. The words are by historian Leonard Marcus, and it's a living textbook where you can walk through and see the Orbis Pictus, the first picture book, to today.
Right. So, yeah, sort of the evolution of kids' books. Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, I'm afraid that's about all the time we have for today's conversation. I want to wrap it up, but thank you so much. What a fabulous hour. Our studio is filled with books. It's like my happy place. Oh, and there's the Little Prince 75th anniversary edition in the back there. We didn't get to that.
The perfect gift.
Oh, yeah. And then Dactyl Hill Sound.
The Dactyl Hill Squad. It's a new series, middle grade readers. This would be a great gift.
And then We Rise, We Resist, We Raise Our Voices by Ashley Brian, that's a forward, but the big compilation anthology. Great. So many books, always more books to read. Thank you so much to the two of you. We've been talking with Holly Weinkauf, who is the owner of Red Balloon Bookshop in St. Paul, and Lisa Vondrasek, who's the curator of Children's Literature Research Collection at the University of Minnesota Libraries. I'm Marianne Combs. Thanks so much for listening.
Woo-hoo! Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne.
Just heard a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to the discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet us at @CarrieNPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all our shows by subscribing to this podcast. You can send us your questions or comments by emailing talk@npr.org.